This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out because I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. On my website, you can re-listen to this program. You can read my weekly meditation. And again, if you want to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, I'll need your name and address so that I can send it on to them. So if you'd like my mailing address or website address, you'll need to get out a pencil and a piece of paper so you can write it down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 33. This is the first day of the new year. You've all made your New Year's resolutions, and you've probably already broken them, and you're going to find out that the new year is much like the old when it comes to all of the things that we habitually do. We do pray that the new year will be a time of blessing for those of you that listen to this program, but the basic thing that we pray for is that our listeners can enjoy the new year in fellowship with the Lord Himself. This program believes that the Bible is the Word of God. This preacher believes that the Bible is the very Word of God. It's God-breathed. And this preacher and this program believes that there is no lasting and true happiness without the Lord Jesus. But we also believe that in this life there is tension between good and evil, between those who are saved and those who are lost, between truth and lies. And we believe that the only truth that we can depend on is the truth of the Bible and the one of whom it speaks, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as we go into this new year, we want to be reminded of what we read last time, that there is a greater than Solomon here. There is a greater than Jonah here. And even though Mary was blessed in that she was the one who gave birth to the Lord, and it was her that nursed him, and it was her that cared for him, yet it's not Mary that we worship. Those of us who reverence the Bible and reverence God, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people today who say they are worshipers of God. But we who read the Bible realize that the one who is God, who represents God, who has all the character of God, our Creator is the Lord Jesus Christ. By Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so we want you to go into the new year with a confident assurance that Christ is who He claimed He was, that He died for your sins, and that He's coming again for you, and that your home in heaven is secure because His blood was shed to pay for your sins at the cross of Calvary. So a greater than Jonah is here, a greater than Solomon is here. They could preach, but they could not save. And now, as we come to this next section in Luke chapter 11 and verse 33, we find a contrast between light and darkness, a contrast that runs throughout Scripture. Luke chapter 11 and verse 33 says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad," in other words, when your eye is good, when you can see, then your body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, when you've got cataracts or are blind, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. In other words, take heed that you don't think you're seeing when you're not. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. When the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, who's the light? Christ is the light. He's the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And He was not hidden in a secret place. He was not, His light was made available for all to see. And that was that culminates when he's taken out to a place called Calvary, and where he is hung on a cross between two thieves. I think of the words of the hymn, "Hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraise as the multitude gaze at the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. There's where the light shined. Men had darkness in their heart, but Christ, who is the light, was willing to die on the cross of Calvary. And I look at him being lifted up so that all men can see what happened. And then this thing that he did is not hidden from men, and it's been proclaimed throughout the world. And you need to make sure today that you're not blind, but that you're seeing the light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so the light has been displayed. Christ has come. He veiled his glory so we could see him. And the light has come into this world. The word of God is in this world. And those two things have been made available and have been displayed to mankind. And now the question is, do you have cataracts on your eyes, or are you seeing the light? Sometimes when people come to a point where they say, I just simply can't believe this, I don't know how to believe this, I really am not sure I believe this, they'll be reading the Bible and they'll all of a sudden find out that you believe God the same way you believe anybody else. You believe what he says. And while you can't prove that everything he says is true, we can prove that what he says about us is true. And there's many things that he says that we can prove are true, and we can't prove anything that God said is false. There are people that question what God said, but they can't prove that anything that God said is false. And so by simple inductive reasoning, because we have tested things that we can test, and those things are true, we take God at his word. And people say, when they all of a sudden come to that point in their lives where they quit trying to figure it out and just accept it by faith, they say, oh, I see. And that's the first time where the blinders of Satan are removed, where the darkness is removed. That's the first time when the light, the true light, shines in. In Romans, we find out that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is the light that we need. It's the light that makes things clear. And as we look at this passage, it's clear in my mind that there are some people who think they have the light when in fact they're blind. And so he says, make sure that if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, then the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. But he also says that your whole body, but when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. So when Satan has those blinders on us, there's many people who seem to think that they have great understanding. Sometimes they are academic people, sometimes they are scientific people, but they are people without faith, devoid of faith in Christ. And they'll say, we have the answer, but yet they don't. And the Pharisees and the scribes, as we go down through this next section, are like that. They think they have the answer. They think they have the light, but they don't have the light. And my friend, the only way we'll know if we have the light is if we come to the Word of God and test what we believe by the Word of God. But that means we have to believe that the Word of God is faithful and true. And I do believe that. And you might ask, well, why do you believe that? And I will honestly tell you that I've studied the Bible for years, and there's a good many reasons why I want to believe that the Bible is true. Because when I believe the Bible is true, then I find out I've got a God who loves me and will never forsake me, and who has died for me, and who has my best interests at heart. And if the Bible wasn't true, it would seem to me like I'd be looking into an abyss, a hopeless life with no purpose and no point. And so there's many reasons why I believe the Bible is true, but ultimately I have to confess that the reason I believe the Bible is true is because I want to. And there are many people who do not want to believe the Bible is true because they want to live in sin. They don't want to be held accountable to God. They don't want to know this God that I know because they are afraid he will condemn them. And yet the Bible says, if they would listen to it, that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, dear friend, have you got the light in you? Or are you still blind? Are you still thinking that you understand how life works? And do you think you understand what the truth is when in fact you don't have a clue? Friend, until you come to know my Savior, you don't have a clue. And as you go into this new year, that's my goal, is to make sure that if you know my Savior, that you can have a life, a fulfilled life in fellowship with him. You don't have to fear the evil that's in the world, because no matter what happens, your home is secure in heaven. And Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And those of us that are saved, while we don't want to die, yet we know that to die is gain. We will go to be with Christ, which is far better. And friend, we live with that assurance. And even if calamity occurs in this life, our future is secure. But if we don't have that light in us, if we are not living in view of that light, if we don't know Christ as our Savior, then what is going to sustain us when trouble comes? And trouble does come. Job found out that trouble comes. The Lord Jesus found out that trouble comes. You know that in your life and in your family's history, trouble has come. Trouble is here because of a real enemy called Satan, an adversary to the things of God. He managed to convince Eve in the Garden of Eden to disobey God, and it's caused sin to come into this society that we live in today, and people have the blinders on. They don't realize they're being led by an evil person away from God. They're being led to sin against God. And just as Israel did that, and it was costly, they crucified the Lord, and as a result, they've been dispersed into all the nations, and the temple was destroyed under Titus, and they've been judged for what they did. Is that just a picture of the spiritual judgment that will come on unbelievers? We read again that God sent not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you believe in him, you'll be able to save by faith. I understand, and you'll have the light that you need, the understanding that you need to take you through life. I hope you have received the light of God's Word, and by saying that, I hope you've received Christ himself as your Savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our program and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.